Krishna Book, Canto 21, Odds and Ends. Chapter 88, Scene 2, Krishna's Mercy Upon His Devotees. In answering Maharaj Parikshit's question, Shukadeva Goswami went on to cite an historical instance regarding Parikshit's grandfather, King Yudhishthir. Shukadeva said that after finishing the Ashwamedha sacrifice in the great sacrificial arena, King Yudhishthir, in the presence of great authorities, inquired on that very same point, how is it that the devotees of Lord Shiva become materially opulent, whereas the devotees of Lord Vishnu do not? Shukadeva specifically referred to King Yudhishthir as your grandfather, so that Maharaj Parikshit would be encouraged to think that he was related to Krishna and that Parikshit's grandfathers were intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Although Krishna is always very satisfied by nature, when this question was asked by Maharaj Yudhishthir, Krishna became even more satisfied because these questions and their answers would bear a great meaning for the entire Krishna conscious society. Whenever Lord Krishna speaks about something to a specific devotee, it is not only meant for that devotee, but for the entire human society. Instructions by the Supreme Personality of Godhead are important even to the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others. And anyone who does not take advantage of these instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who descends within this world for the benefit of all living entities, is certainly very unfortunate. Lord Krishna answered the question of Maharaj Yudhishthir as follows. Yasyaham anugrinami harishye tad dhanang shanai tato dhanang tiyajant yasya swajana dhuka dhukitam. If I especially favor a devotee and especially wish to care for him or her, the first thing I do is to take away one's riches. When the devotee becomes a penniless pauper or is put into a comparatively poverty-stricken position, one's relatives and family members no longer take interest in one, and in most cases, they give up their connection. The devotee then becomes doubly unhappy. First of all, one becomes unhappy because one's riches have been taken away by Krishna. And then, he or she is made even more unhappy when one's relatives desert because of one's poverty-stricken condition. But we should note, however, that when a devotee falls into a miserable condition in this way, it is not due to past impious activities known as karma phala. The poverty-stricken position of the devotee is the creation of the personality of Godhead. Similarly, when a devotee becomes materially opulent, that is also not due to one's pious activities. In either case, whether the devotee becomes poorer or richer, the arrangement is made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This arrangement is especially made by Krishna for his devotee, just to make him or her completely dependent upon Krishna and to free one from all material obligations. One can then concentrate his or her energies, mind, body, everything for the service of Lord Krishna, and that is pure devotional service. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is therefore explained Sarvopadhi Vinir Muktam, which means being freed from all designations. works performed for family, society, community, nation, or humanity are all designated. I belong to this society. I belong to this community. I belong to this nation. I belong to this species of life. Such identities are all merely designations. But when by the grace of Lord Krishna, a devotee becomes free from all designations, then his or her devotional service is actually Naishkarma. Jnanis are very much attracted by the position of Naishkarma, in which one's actions no longer have material effect. When the devotee's actions are freed from effects, they are no longer in the category of karma phalam, or fruitive activities. As explained before by the personified Vedas, the happiness and distress of a devotee are produced by the personality of Godhead for the devotee, and the devotee therefore does not care whether he or she is in happiness or in distress. The devotee goes on with one's duties in executing devotional service. Although the devotee's behavior seems to be subject to the action and reaction of fruitive activities, he or she is actually freed from the results of action. It may then be questioned why a devotee is put into such tribulation by the personality of Godhead. The answer is that this kind of arrangement by Lord Krishna is just like a father's sometimes becoming unkind to his sons. Because the devotee is a surrendered soul, and the devotee is taken charge of by the Supreme Lord, whenever Lord Krishna puts one into any condition of life, either in distress or happiness, it is to be understood that behind this arrangement, there is a large plan designed by the personality of Godhead. For example, Lord Krishna put the Pandavas into a distressed condition so acute that even Grandfather Bhishma could not comprehend how such distress could occur. Bhishma lamented that although the whole Pandava family was headed by King Yudhisthira, the most pious king, and protected by the two great warriors, Bhima and Arjuna. And although, above all, the Pandavas were all intimate friends and relatives of Lord Krishna, still they had to undergo such tribulations. Later on, however, it was proved that this was all planned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as part of Krishna's great mission to annihilate the miscreants and protect the devotees. Another question may be raised. Since a devotee is put into different kinds of happy and distressful conditions by the arrangement of the personality of Godhead, and a common man is put into such conditions as a result of his past deeds, then what is the difference? How is the devotee any better than the ordinary karmi? The answer is that the karmis and the devotees are not on the same level. In whatever condition of life the karmi may be, one continues in the cycle of birth and death because the seed of karma or fruitive activity is still there, and it will fructify whenever there is an opportunity. By the law of karma, a common man is perpetually entangled in repeated birth and death, whereas a devotee's distress and happiness, not being under the laws of karma, are part of a temporary arrangement by the Supreme Lord, which does not entangle the devotee. Such an arrangement is made by Lord Krishna only to serve a temporary purpose. If a karmi performs auspicious acts, he or she is elevated to the heavenly planets. And if a karmi acts impiously, then he or she is put into a hellish condition of life. But whether a devotee acts in a so-called pious or impious manner, he or she is neither elevated nor degraded, but rather is transferred to the spiritual kingdom. Therefore, a devotee's happiness and distress and a karmi's happiness and distress are not on the same level. This fact is corroborated by a speech made by Yamaraj to his servants in connection with the liberation of Vajamila. Yamaraj advised his followers that persons who have never uttered the holy name of Lord Krishna, nor remembered the form, qualities, and pastimes of Lord Krishna, they should be approached by his watchguards. But Yamaraj also advised his servants never to approach the devotees. On the contrary, Yamaraj instructed his messengers that if they meet a devotee, they should offer their respectful obeisances. So there is no question of a devotee's being promoted or degraded within this material world, as there is a gulf of difference between the punishment awarded by the mother and the punishment awarded by an enemy. So a devotee's distressed condition is not the same as the distressed condition of a common karmi. Here yet, another question may be raised. If God is all-powerful, why should he try to reform his devotee by putting one in distress? The answer is that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead puts his devotee into a condition of distress, it is not without purpose. Sometimes the purpose is that in distress, a devotee's feelings of attachment to Krishna are magnified. For example, when Krishna, before leaving the capital of the Pandavas for his own home, was asking for permission to leave, Kunti Devi said, "My dear Krishna, in our distressed condition, you were always present with us. Now, because we have been elevated to a royal position, you are leaving us. I would therefore prefer to live in distress than to lose you." So when a devotee is put into a situation of distress, his or her devotional activities are accelerated. Therefore, to show special favor to a devotee, Lord Krishna sometimes puts one into distress. Besides that, it is stated that the sweetness of happiness is sweeter to those who have tasted bitterness. The Supreme Lord descends to this material world just to protect his devotees from distress. In other words, if devotees were not in a distressed condition, Lord Krishna would not have to come down. As for Krishna's killing the demons or the miscreants, this can be easily done by Krishna's various energies, just as many asuras are killed by his external energy, Goddess Durga. Therefore, Lord Krishna does not need to come down personally to kill such demons. But when Krishna's devotee is in distress, Krishna must come. Nrisingadev appeared not to kill Hiranyakashipu, but to see Prahlad and to give him blessings. In other words, because Prahlad Maharaj was put into very great distress, Lord Krishna appeared. When, after the dense dark night, and there is finally sunrise in the morning, it is very pleasant. When there is scorching heat, cold water is very pleasant. And when there is freezing winter, hot water is very pleasant. Similarly, when a devotee, after experiencing the condition of the material world, relishes the spiritual happiness awarded by Lord Krishna, one's position becomes still more pleasant and enjoyable. Lord Krishna then said to Maharaj Yudhisthira, "When my devotee is bereft of all material riches and is deserted by relatives, friends, and family members, because the devotee has no one to look after him or her, the devotee completely takes shelter of my lotus feet." Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung in this connection, "My dear Lord Krishna, O son of Nanda Maharaj, you are standing now before me along with Srimati Radharani, daughter of King Vrishabhanu. Now I am surrendering unto you, so please accept me. Please do not kick me away, for I have no shelter other than you." When a devotee is thus put into so-called miserable conditions and is bereft of riches and family, the devotee tries to revive his or her original position of material opulence. But although the devotee tries again and again, Krishna again and again takes away all one's resources. Thus the devotee finally becomes disappointed in material activities, and in that stage of frustration in all endeavors, the devotee can fully surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such persons are advised by Lord Krishna from within to associate with devotees. By associating with devotees, they naturally become inclined to render service to the Personality of Godhead, and the devotee immediately gets all facilities from Lord Krishna to advance in Krishna consciousness. The non-devotees, however, are very careful about preserving their material condition of life. Generally, therefore, such non-devotees do not come to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but worship Lord Shiva and other demigods for immediate material profit. In Bhagavad Gita, it is therefore said, "Kangshanta karmanang siddhin yajanta iha devata." In order to achieve success within this material world, the karmis worship various demigods. It is also stated by Lord Krishna that those who worship the demigods are not mature in their intelligence. The devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, because of their strong attachment for Krishna, do not foolishly go to the demigods. Lord Krishna then said to King Yudhisthira, "My devotee is not deterred by any adverse conditions of life. The devotee always remains firm and steady. Therefore, I give myself to the devotee, and I favor the devotee so that he or she can achieve the highest success in life." The mercy bestowed upon the tried devotee by the Supreme Personality is described as Brahman, which indicates that the greatness of that mercy can be compared only to the all-pervasive greatness. Brahman means unlimitedly great and unlimitedly expanding. That mercy is also described as Parama, for it has no comparison within this material world. And it is also called Sukshmam, very fine. Lord Krishna's mercy upon the tried devotee is not only great and unlimitedly expansive, but it is of the finest quality of transcendental love between the devotee and Lord Krishna. Such mercy is further described as Chinmatram, completely spiritual. The use of the word matram indicates absolute spirituality with no tinge of material qualities. That mercy is also called sat, eternal, and anantakam, unlimited. So since the devotee of Lord Krishna is awarded such unlimited spiritual benefit, why should the devotee worship the demigods? A devotee of Krishna does not worship Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or any other subordinate demigod. The devotee completely devotes him or herself to the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Thus ends Chapter 88, Scene 2, Krishna's Mercy Upon His Devotees. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.